You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. You're watching Fanboy Versus with your hosts, JD Church, Nicole Hale, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely.
And you are watching Fanboy Versus. I'm your host, JD, joined by the amazing Nicole.
I'm amazing, yay!
It's just the two of us today. So Nicole and I are going to have an intimate time talking about comics.
Yeah. Because apparently we're meant to be alone because there's no one in the chat either.
That's right. It is Fanboy Versus live, and we are very much alone, just the two of us. It's very exciting, yep. Fanboy Versus. So it is Fanboy Versus March Madness, I guess, because it's March.
Oh, yes. It's starting, isn't it?
We're crazy. So, So that's where we're at. But sorry about last week. We had sickness and people doing things. So That's all I'll say about that. I still have a bit of a cough and a cold, so fantastic for me.
But you still made it, unlike Chris and Chris.
I know. Well, see, Triplett was so distraught about the horrible, horrible beating that Duke received at the hands of the Tar Heels yesterday. So, you know, he's drowning his sorrow somewhere and just could not make it. I don't know what Chris McFeely is doing, but he's out, so that's okay. So we're here.
Yep, we're here.
Yeah. Lucky us.
Let's party.
Woo-hoo.
I've got my water.
That's right. I've got water as well.
Cheers.
Yes. Cheers. It is not vodka, people. That is clear, delicious water.
Nummy.
So, yeah.
It's a party.
normally we turn to Chris McFeely for the news because we don't follow it.
So, I tried to. It's been a crazy week.
I know. I've caught a few things. We'll talk about a few things here. First up, that I want to talk about real quick is the... I'm getting excited about Earth 2. I don't know if you are, but I am.
Now, what's Earth 2 all about?
Well, if you remember back in the
Please
day...
Please tell.
Let's tell you a story. Sit down on JD's lap and let me tell you a story.
Okay, story time.
So, a long time ago in the DC Universe, there used to be many different planets in what they called the multiverse. In the 80s, they said, that really doesn't sense, so they threw it all out. Well, apparently now that they, and when they did, like, the post-52 event, not new 52, the previous 52, 52-week event. They reintroduced the multiverse, and they didn't do a damn thing with it. So, so now that they have this like new 52 world, they're actually going back to the multiverse concept. So now they have characters that they took out of the primary DC universe, and they're putting back into Earth 2, kind of where they were from.
Oh, okay.
So, for example, okay. Huntress and Power Girl. Were both originally from Earth 2. And yep. Earth 2 is the golden age. It's supposed to be the golden age Earth. So it's like the original Superman holding the car, you know, the Batman with the sideways ears. Those were all the Earth 2 versions of those. What they consider to be the Silver Age is what's supposed to be Earth 1.
Okay.
Yeah. This is why they threw this out, okay? This is why this was a bad idea, and they fixed it. So now they're redoing it. But anyway, so the idea is that they're doing, I think it's, now I can't remember the names of the titles. I think it's Earth's Finest or World's Finest, and World's Finest is going to be one, And then I can't remember. It seems like there's another title that they're going to take there. Anyway, so the deal is going to be that they're going to have, you know, Power Girl and Huntress are going to be in this Earth 2. And the idea is, so there's going to be a Superman from there, a Batman, the whole thing. And they're going back.
So is this where Power Girl's getting her new costume that people are complaining about?
Yes, right. Because in Earth 2, Power Girl was essentially Supergirl. So she's Clark's, you know, cousin or whatever.
Cousin, yeah.
Right. But she was called Power Girl, you know.
Gotcha.
And then Huntress.
Yeah, I read some Power Girl my time.
Yeah, so there you go. And then Huntress was actually the daughter of Catwoman and Batman. So she's actually Bruce's daughter.
Oh, okay.
And they seem to be going back to that. Like, the characters have older costumes. There's an image of Huntress as a Robin, even at one time. So it seems like she was a Robin and then became Huntress. And then
she's just a fashionista. She needs.
I know. I think she got rid of the belly window. Did she get rid of the belly window? I don't know. That was kind of dumb. Anyway, so that's Earth 2 stuff. There's Earth 2. So there's a couple of Earth 2 titles coming out. Anyway, we've got some images that Jim Lee did for the Superman of Earth 2. So those are out, and those are kind of interesting. They're not strikingly different. I mean, basically they've got some deeper red details like shoulder pads and things, and they don't have the neck collar that has sort of become the signature of this new 52 relaunch. This Huntress Robin costume is actually kind of, really interesting. It's got a lot of armor on it. It actually looks a lot more like the Earth One, you know, New 52 kind of stuff that's out. But anyway, I think it's going to be interesting. It does look like Power Girl spent some time as Supergirl, and maybe now is, you know, changed to Power Girl, and Huntress spent time as Robin and is now Huntress. So. It'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting to see that reboot.
Yeah, I'm really, you know, it's something that DC hasn't done in a long time. So I'm really interested to see, you know, to see a visit to Earth 2 and see some different versions of these characters. So that's a thing that happened.
That happened.
Sorry. Let's see. What else do we have? There are some images in animation, and I'll just apologize right off the bat. I did not watch any of the new DC Nation block. Bad fanboy. Shame on me.
I did though.
So, what did you think?
Young Justice.
Did you see any of the shorts though? Did they have any like the?
Yeah, I really love the shorts. I watched. Crap. What was it? The one with the little claymations, and they all have like little British voices. They're cute little kids. I forgot what it's called though. That was really fun. And then they had like a Plastic Man short, which I found was the better of the two. I thought was really funny. So
nice.
Plastic Man. I was like, okay, well, watch it, check it out. I'm like, this is funny.
So. I know there's hope that there'll be a torrent that includes all of that. I need to check and see if that's out. Because I would like to download that and watch it.
One thing I'm surprised about while I was watching it is the Hub does advertisements during DC Nation. So I just thought that was really weird.
Interesting. Not something I would expect. Like,
oh. Yeah. So. But yeah, the little shorts were really, really fun. I can't wait to see all of them. So
sweet. Yeah, I want to.
Green Lantern starts up next week.
Ooh,
again.
So do want to watch that as well. So let's see. We got some images for we've been talking about the Ultimate Spider-Man animated series is coming out. And this week, Joe Quesada and Marvel released a series of character models for that. So we got to see Nova is going to introduce some of the people that are going to be in the cast. Of course, some of these may have been known before. I'm not sure. But we saw a character model for Nova, which looks pretty cool. Power Man is going to be in it apparently as well. And one thing that I was interested in, which is the White Tiger, the current female version of White Tiger. So who's she's being seen right now in Justice Academy, or Justice League Academy. Good Lord, Avengers Academy.
We'll get there.
The brain is not working. Also we saw a model for Iron Fist as well. So that should be an interesting cast. Like I said, I'm particularly interested that they're doing White Tiger. Not a character I'd even really heard of until Avengers Academy. And so she's going to get some TV time as well.
I think there's so many different new superhero shows coming out. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see more of the obscure characters come out. Just maybe for fan links, but then, different storylines.
So. Yeah. And I mean, and from a diversity standpoint, she's a great character to choose because, of course, she's Latino, as well as being female. So that's no way. Yeah, I know.
Dude.
I know. Boobs and from Mexico. It's crazy. But that's what they call a twofer in the PC world. But anyway, so that's cool. Let's see. And I think maybe one other bit of news that I was looking at as my computer loads very slowly. Yes, Jonathan Hickman. Announced this week, Jonathan Hickman is going to be leaving Fantastic Four in the fall, I believe. Now, he's wrapping up his long game story here in just like a month or two, I think. I think that's wrapping up. So we're rapidly coming towards the end of that. And I think he's just got like a short arc after that, and then he'll be gone. So it has led to some speculation, though, as far as, what's next? What's next for Jonathan
Hickman? Does it say where he's going to, or...?
It does not. And, Marvel's kind of wide open right now. I mean, we know Bendis is leaving Avengers. So that's, leaving an Avengers writing slot open. Fraction is able to slide around to a lot of different places. He's been on Iron Man for a while, as well as Thor. I think he's still doing Thor right now. So it's conceivable, Fraction could move into that. I don't think they have a solid next writer for X-Men as well. So it's possible that Hickman could go to X-Men. So there's a lot of, possibilities, especially after the Avengers versus X-Men event. I would not be surprised to see a pretty, big shakeup and shift around in some of the writing teams. So,
well, you're a fan of FF, and so how do you feel about this news?
It's kind of interesting. I was talking about this with Buck from my shop, the guy that owns my shop, and he made an interesting point, which was that when they hired Hickman on to Fantastic Four, they gave him the task of making the Fantastic Four relevant. They wanted the Fantastic Four to be something that connects to, the Marvel Universe that people wanted to tie their books to and the other books would tie into. And while he's done a really great job of doing this really interesting story, it's one of those deals where you really kind of have to start at the beginning and then, read all the way through. Because there's so many little things and seeds that are planted, it's really hard. It's the same problem that Fantastic Four has had, I think, for the majority of its run. It's not something that you can just pick up and read. You've really got to, find that proper jumping on point and then go with it. As opposed to, say, something that we talk about a lot, like Amazing Spider-Man, where you can really pick up, a book or two ahead of Spider Island and read Spider Island, or you can buy.
Still need to read that.
Yeah. Oh,
I got the trade.
You're almost there.
I know. I just need to start reading it.
But even this, this past week's, you can pick up this and really kind of run with it. I mean, it fills in any of the blanks for stuff that you need, and you can just go right into this story. So, So I like Hickman, but a lot of his stuff is really heavy and you really have to have read the stuff before it. So I think it's successful in the sense that he's made Fantastic Four something that people want to read, but I don't know that he's really made it something that people are really gravitating to, and even the other writers at Marvel. You know, it's not... He kind of got Spider-Man incorporated into the Fantastic Four, and I think that, you know, Slott's done a great job of, you know, playing with that and, you know, going back and forth with it. But I don't really think that, you know, it's not like every title is talking about, you know, Galactus' return and the Kree Armada attacking Earth. I mean, it's not like that's going on in any other title. You know, I don't think the Avengers have mentioned it. I don't think any of the other titles have mentioned what's going on. I mean, not even in Spider-Man. You think about this week's issue of Spider-Man, and you know, essentially, this adventure is either going on before or after that. You know, it has to be after because Johnny's back. And yet there's no mention of the other stuff that's going on. So it really does seem like Fantastic Four is something that's happening apart from the Marvel Universe.
So do you think there's going to be like a new reboot when he leaves?
I mean, no. And I mean, there may be a little bit of a soft reboot. I mean, it's not something that's terribly uncommon for Marvel. But I really hope that maybe that will be their drive. Like their next thing for Fantastic Four will be to... you know, try to find someone in some way to make the Fantastic Four fun and relevant. It's not that they are not fun, but really this story has gotten pretty heavy. And it's not necessarily as fun. It has light moments, and it has some great moments, but you really have to have the foundation to do that. So if they could make it, now I don't say it has to be exactly like Spider-Man, but in essence like that, where it's, or even Daredevil, where it's something that, you know, is interesting, and they're doing interesting stuff with it from an issue-to-issue standpoint, not necessarily from an arc, you know, a big, long story. So we'll see. But now, I mean, I still recommend reading it for sure, and I'm really sad that Hickman, you know, is going to leave it, and it's going to really depend on what they do as to whether I'm going to, you know, keep up with it after, mm-hmm. So... But I recommend that everyone read Hickman's arc on it, especially if you like if you like long game stuff like that, where it's, you know, there's a lot of detail and stuff. It is a lot of fun, but not necessarily new reader friendly. So yeah.
Yeah. That's the news, basically.
Yeah, it's like I said, I'm interested in watching what's going to happen at Marvel for the next couple of months because there's going to be a lot of writer shakeups. You know, there's a lot of changes on the horizon, so we shall see. All right, this is going to be like the shortest episode of Fanboy Versus ever.
We'll see.
Nicole and I are
because I usually do my reviews really quick anyway.
Marching through this, so we'll see. We're gonna take two reviews a piece, and we're gonna do one at the end. So we're trying to, for once, we're trying to pad out the show.
There we go.
As opposed to keep it short. So, all right, Nicole. Then I will let you speak on what it is you will speak of.
Okay. All right, well, at first, I just want to do an update from last month when I did a review on Magic the Gathering. I just want to let you guys know I picked up the second one, and yes, you do get gaming cards with each one. So it's in a sealed package, and you can see it right there. So,
all right, so listen up, all you guys that live in your mom's basement. Make sure you pick up these so you can get those unique.
Yeah. So you can get very unique cards. This one actually sounds pretty good. It's draw two cards and discard two. Ooh. And flashback. You must cast this card from your graveyard for its flashback cost, then exile it. So it's called Faithless Looting. So...
you know, and after playing Yu-Gi-Oh, I almost know what some of that means, and I kind of hate that a little bit, really.
I still like how the card matches the comic book.
That's nice. And so I mean, it's a great tie-in, a great way. I mean, I think surely Magic is on the decline. I don't think it's enjoying the same amount of popularity it was. I say that, and a friend of mine's nephew, I know he got a bunch of Magic cards just for Christmas. So,
So I know some people that just picked up cards this week, and I'm like, oh, okay. You know, like I said, I've only played it the one time to try to learn what's going on. So I understand the gameplay, but I have a set of my own cards because my friends gave me some, but I don't know what happened.
Were you scared? I mean, did they?
No.
had these people seen a girl before? I mean,
yeah, that's, Actually, it was the girlfriends that gave it to me.
Oh, wow. So that's even better. So that's safe then. I do know women that play Magic. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that typically some of the guys I know that play, it's kind of a little scary, you know.
So I haven't read the comic book yet, but I thought I'd give you guys a heads up. So if you guys are into the games and you really need some extra cards that probably some people don't have, I mean, I've known people that pay like $10 for each one of these cards. The comic book's $4, you get a card with it, and then you get your free comic book. There you go.
I can't imagine why you would spend $10 for a card. I mean, it's not like I didn't just pay $400 to go to a toy convention, but $10 for a card. Speaking of which, we'll mention, I know we mentioned this on Fanboy Versus as well, before we get into your review, thinking of money. For whatever reason, if you're living under a rock, please, for the love of God, cancel your card if you ever bought anything from the Transformers Collector Club. Holy crap. Chris Triplett, our Chris Triplett, got hit on his card. So something I thought we would mention here as well. I canceled my cards. I'm waiting on new ones in the mail. But, yeah. Holy shit.
It's just scary what's going on with FunPub. So, yeah. I feel sorry for...
I know a bunch of people. I know several people. I mean, a lot of people that, you know, related to the show or friends of the show that have been hit as well. So, kind of scary. Hopefully, you're aware of that if you're listening to the show.
Yeah.
If you haven't... Go listen to the other show.
And of course, they're talking about not just this past year. If you bought anything at any time from them, go get your cards replaced. So,
yeah, really.
Yeah, it's scary. I'm just like, I haven't been hit yet. Knock on that wood.
I would cancel the card. That's what I did. Like, as soon as Triplett got hit, I was like, nope. I'm done playing around. You know, that's
why
too
he's
close
not
to
here.
Home.
He can't afford his internet anymore.
That's what it is. He can't afford his internet because his card got stolen. So
yeah, there you go.
But that's okay, because then I get to spend time with just you, Nicole. It's just you and me.
Yes, it's just us.
You and I don't get to spend a lot of time together. You know.
Just, I know. It's just you and this I. is kind of nice. Yeah. It's kind of nice. Yeah. It's kind of nice because McFeely can't prove me wrong.
That's right. He can't talk about how wrong you are.
Yes.
I'll just think about how wrong you are. But there I won't tell you how wrong you are. I'll just
oh,
let
I'm
you
always
go.
Incredibly wrong.
No.
Well, one thing I'm not incredibly wrong about is how awesome my favorite series is. See? Segway.
It's like you're a pro now. I'm so proud. It's like watching you grow.
I so know. Nice. I'm blossoming.
Yes. You're becoming a woman.
Wow, that's a little... few years behind. Anyways, so my favorite series Turtles. You guys haven't heard the show. I love the Ninja Turtle series, and they also have a micro series out now. I've never done any reviews on the micro series, but this month it's my favorite turtle, so I'm reviewing him. It's Donatello. Yay, yes, he's my favorite. So, you know, he does machines.
Well, yeah, he's into that tech stuff. Yeah,
so, and of course, with these micro series, each one of them, it just focuses on the one particular turtle, and it tells their story. And it's also in kind of a first-person talk, so you see Donatello tell his story through his words. And so you go throughout this story, and you see when he's fighting with his brothers, they are one. He relates to them when they're fighting. But when they're on their free time, he just has no way to connect to them or to Splinter. And so you see him throughout the comic, you know, trying to relate, but just not working. Leonardo, he does his best to try to relate to Donatello, but it just doesn't work. And so... he even actually goes and he questions Splinter's theology and the way that he works, because Donatello is a scientific mind. He needs proof in everything. He needs that scientific evidence. Why is everything everything? And Splinter is definitely the magi. You know, he's the mystic. So he's like, I don't get him, but I honor him and I'll follow what he says, but it doesn't mean I have to believe what he's thinking. I was like, wow, this is actually different than what I ever thought about, you know, Donnie ever saying something like that. But it also shows him, you know, he loves his computers, so, but he always waits until everyone goes to bed and he does his computer nerdy stuff. And he also gets on forums. Now, if you ever are on forums,
oh, it's not like 4chan or anything, right? You're talking.
No, he just talks about like the. It's called Fact Form. So he's always, and of course, he's like, I've met some really cool people, and there's always this one person. He's always getting into online fights about. I'm like, so, Donnie goes by does_machines84. Huh? Okay, because the turtles were invented in 84. So, and well, he gets an invitation from someone to go to this scientific convention for, but you have to there by invitation. So you have to be a brilliant brain. So he goes there, he meets up with some, you know, he sees some fancy stuff. Of course, he's in disguise and he just doesn't like it. He wants to communicate with these other people, but he can't because people are going to be scared of him. And you can just see because he's in his. He's in his place with his fellow nerds, you know?
Right.
His fellow geek, and he's just like, "Oh, I so want to talk to someone, but I can't." And you can just see the pain on him. And you're just like, "Oh, I just don't want to do this." And so you see, like all these inventors playing with their gadgets and all the scientific talk going around, and you could see his eyes just light up. You're like, he's like, "Oh my gosh, this is so great!" But then he's like, got to cower behind his overcoat, like, "Oh wait, I can't get too excited. I don't want people to know, you know, about me." Well, he runs into this one guy who's creating a mess with his anti-like gravity gauntlet, and so he's throwing like a hot dog cart everywhere, and of course
that doesn't seem like the most polite thing to use your invention on
the hot dog cart.
You know, you'd think you could try, like, you know, a box or something.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, then of course, you know, security's called, but Donnie's just like, "Oh, this is awesome!" And of course, this like gauntlet also has the power to make things invisible. And so he's like looking around, like, "Oh, why isn't anyone seeing this?" Because the guy went invisible, but Donnie's the only one that saw him. So, well, guess what? It's not just security was called. You know, the big dogs, the CIA, and the Secret Service was called in to get the scientists, because guess what? They want this invention. So,
yeah, I mean, because they're thinking, we have so many hot dog carts to move around, you know.
We need to move those hot dog carts.
Just think about how many hot dog carts we can get out of the way with this.
So basically, Donnie just follows the scientists around, and of course, you find out it's not really Secret Service. It's the bad guys, and they're trying to get his invention, and he's like, "No, no, no." So they kind of to a fear tactics, like, "Okay, well, guess what? If you're not going to work with us, you know, willingly, we'll force you." And so, of course, Donnie tries to be the hero and tries to save him. And, you know what, the scientist is really into it until you find out the person who he's arguing with online is the scientist, and they find out it's these two that are butting heads online. So guess what? They're arch enemies now. And it's just a really, really cute story about how they finally come together to defeat the Black Ops guys, and they become friends. And guess what? The scientist has some other intel that he's going to be using later on. So it's just a really cute story about how Donnie grows, how he thinks, and how he finally makes a friend. And he's so excited. He has a friend who used to be his online arch enemy, you know. And, of course, when he gets back to the sewer, he goes back into that awkward stage where he just wants to go in the corner and play his video games and work on computers. But, you know, it's so cute. Splinter tries to be the comforting father, and he knows that. But then he's just happy being with his computer. Again, I love these stories. All the turtle stuff is just so fun. Like I said, I really didn't know that Donatello really thought of Splinter, you know, like questioning his ways. And so I'm like, oh, that's a good inside of him. So, yes, if you guys aren't reading Turtles, it's really fun. Triplet's reading it, so that makes me happy.
See? He's at least doing it. I don't know. It's like, Turtles is one of those things I just... You know, it's like one of those things I'm aware of. It's like G.I. Joe. It's like I'm aware of, and it's cool, but it's just not... something, you know.
You know what? Wait till the cartoon comes out this fall. I'm pretty sure people will be getting on board. It's just a fun story. It's full. It makes you laugh out loud. It makes you cry at some points. And it's just... the thing is, Eastman didn't write this one. Kevin Eastman, who was the originator, who's the creator of it, this was actually written by Brian Lynch and Tom Waltz. Ah. So Tom Waltz also works on the ongoing. But so I like to see a new creator come in and take the ideas of the original creator and just makes it work. So
yeah, awesome.
There you go. So there's my favorite turtle.
Yay. I do like Donnie, though.
Yeah. Who's my favorite turtle?
I was always, you know, of course, I was always like the sciencey, geeky kid. So I did really love Donatello. So that is cool.
I love Donnie. I don't know. I always loved him from the start.
And, he wore purple. So that was like, you know, even better for me. So because it's my favorite color. So
I like playing him in the original NES video games because he had the broadest range.
I know. It was great. You know, like stand back and beat the crap out of him. I always tried to keep him alive or like resurrect him, you know, when I had the chance. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now we're covering old school. Sure. We're covering everything. Transformers, video games. It's like we are like every podcast. You and I and Nicole. See?
We are RFC.
That's right. We're special.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So anyway, okay. So that's Turtles. What else you got?
Oh, do you want to go for the next one?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, this next one is... Okay, I got on to reading this because everyone else in the group reads Spider-Man, so I figured I better pick Spider-Man up so we could talk about it.
Yeah.
Guess what? Two people didn't show up.
Yeah, so there's nobody else here but me.
But you did read it. You did read
it. Yeah, I did read it, so...
I am reviewing The Amazing Spider-Man, mm-hmm. and like JD said earlier... It's one of these comic books that you don't have to know what's going on in the previous issues. You could just pick one up and read it and enjoy it. At the very beginning, it does give like a breakdown of what's been going on. Like, I didn't know that Mayor Jameson's wife died.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah.
Okay, it's a key point. I'm glad they put this in like the little wrap-up story. So that does help. Honestly, I don't know. Okay, this one is Spider-Man in space, which is awesome because I love any space story.
Yep, so. And in space, no one can hear you thwip.
Nice.
Yep. That was a tagline for this. I didn't make that up.
You talk to your wife like that? Jeez, nasty.
Well, actually. Anyway, so the comic.
The comic. So right away we have John Jonah Jameson. His son. Okay, let me get this right. His son is the astronaut in space. He's working on like the Apogee space station. Is that how you say it? Apogee?
I think it's Apogee.
Apogee? Okay. So.
I'm from Oklahoma. So, I don't know how to pronounce things.
So. I'm from Wyoming. You know.
Yeah. There you go.
So, you know, he actually gets the right to come in and see, talk to his son who's in space. And it's all lovey-dovey. And Peter Parker's, you know, happy to actually see Jameson in an enlightened mode, in a mood, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's kind of nice. He has a smile on his face in this comic.
Yeah, it's
like,
kind of scary.
You know, you're just like, oh, he has teeth. And this, it's going in a friendly direction. Mm-hmm. So, and everything's hunky-dory, and everything's going well, and then they lose connection. So, of course, Jonah thinks it's everyone else's fault, and they've got to get him on board, and, well, Peter Parker heads out the back, and he goes to the one place where he thinks that could help, and that's the Baxter Building, of course. That's where Fantastic Four are. Now, let me just say, this next two pages are hilarious.
It's just brilliant.
Johnny Storm is by himself. And so he does kind of like a redo of Risky Business, but it's to the song of Friday. And I'm talking, it's Friday, Friday.
Gotta get down on Friday. Yep.
And you're just like, oh my gosh, he has been away for way too long.
And not just that, but it's like he's really catching up on like a year's worth of television as well. So it's like he's watching the Packers-Steelers Super Bowl, Dancing with the Stars, Top Gear, and the World Series. So it's just brilliant.
So he has both. He's watching him on multiple TVs. At least that's what I picked up when he's talking about it. So, and of course, Spidey's like, we have an emergency. And he's like, wait, no. I've done my time. I am relaxing. I am having fun. Of course, there is so much humor going on between Peter and Johnny. It's this whole issue.
It's classic. It's really classic, you know, for between Peter and Johnny. And you can see that, you know, that friendship between them. You know,
it's awesome.
Right back where it was, basically.
And of course, well, because he's in a hurry, Spidey decides to ruin all the spoilers for him. He tells Martina wins dancing, Cardinals beat the Rangers, Packers beat Steelers, and they're still at Herschel's farm, which I died about laughing. That's Walking Dead. If you just don't.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, oh. He covered everything.
Any major event in television that you would really care about.
And of course, Johnny just looks at him straight in the eye, serious. This is why everyone hates you. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
See, these three pages are filled with so much. I'm smiling through the whole time, you know? It's just like, okay, this is funny. Of course, they get into their spaceship and they head off into, well, space.
It'll be both. It'll be a road rescue trip. Rescue trip. A road mission.
Yes. Oh, you know, Dan Slott, you win by heart. I really, with the writing on this.
Yeah.
And of course, you see Jonah freaking out, you know, as a caring father would. And of course, you know, people try to comfort him. He's like, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. This is my son. You don't get it.
Well, and I think the important thing about this, and of course, he's talking to Max about, you know, Max is talking to him and say, hey, it's going to be okay. We're going to get this. And of course, Jonah's, you know, like you said, you know, really ticked off. And the important thing here is, you know, Jonah is saying that he's going to blame Horizon and he is not going to forget it. So I'm wondering if we're starting to see, you know, we've talked about that this is a whole different world for Peter, you know, where things are going well. He has a job. He has, you know, resources and all these things. And I wonder if this is, you know, yet another piece of that thread unraveling, you know, that Horizons is going to get. You know, this is going to somehow lead in Horizons. I mean, this is the beginning of this ends of the world event that we're getting into with, you know, with the showdown with the Sinister Six and everything. So it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. But I wonder if this is sort of the seeds of that, you know, the seeds of
that's a good idea.
Of Horizon coming apart and, you know, Peter sort of getting back to a
old self.
Yeah, really struggling again.
Well, this next page, okay, because Spidey is focused. He wants this mission. And, of course, Johnny is just living it up, making cracking jokes. Like, oh, this whole thing, he's like, he's talking to Spidey. He's like, there better be food up there. He's like, stop. And girls.
Food.
You know, he's just trying to lighten the burden of what's going on. But, of course, they finally get into the space capsule, and they're having fun with the anti-gravity, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't at that point? So, and, of course, Johnny, of course, Spidey's like, my Spidey senses are tingling. And of course, Johnny, oh my gosh, he makes the best jokes. He's like, right, your special power tells you when to be scared. Love that line. Just the whole thing within the next few pages of them talking, and then all of a sudden, boom, they come across these little creatures. Apparently, I don't recognize these, but they're Octobots.
Yeah, because you haven't finished Spider Island.
I know, and so. I will. And I'm like, okay, it's Doc Ock, of course, Octobots. I put that together.
Which is about all you need to know, really.
Yeah, and so they're coming across some difficulty because, you know, Johnny can't use his flame because I'll use up the oxygen. Well, there's no gravity, so, you know, Spidey can't whip, you know, in space. You know, so they got to figure out what to do.
That's one thing I don't understand is I'm not sure why. I guess they just wouldn't shoot very far.
They'd be like, you know. It's kind of like, I don't know if you watch Big Bang, but last one they were talking about Howard going to space and you threw up and it just dangles in his face. Oh. So it's probably like that.
Yeah, probably.
You know. But, well, guess what? Their hero, comes to the rescue. So he knows the way out. But basically, I don't really want to give the rest of it away. I don't know. Let's just say.
Well, I think the important thing to mention is, and really the only other thing to mention out of this is that one of the things that they've missed is the crew. They couldn't figure out where the crew was.
Yeah. So.
And I'm just going to say Octobot zombies. And I'm just going to leave it there. I think that pretty much.
Yes.
That's really all you need to know. Because it's pretty scary, awesome, scary, and awesome.
I don't read Amazing Spider-Man all the time, but I'm so glad I picked this up. And again, it's funny. It's it has some really good action in it, you know, and you feel for Jonah for once in your life, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you didn't read the funeral scene. So
I heard that was really good. So. Yeah.
So there has been some good Jonah stuff lately. I mean, if there's one thing that Jonah does care a lot about, you know, and that he's very compassionate about, it is his family. And so I think you're seeing that here, both on the compassion side when he's like really proud of him in the early scenes, and then, you know, later on the sort of retribution side where he's, you know, really pissed off at Max and Horizon. So again, this is the beginning of that, the ends of the earth and stuff. So it's gonna be really interesting to see where this goes.
Yeah, but if you just like a story where you see two friends just giving each other shit back and forth, you know, it's
any
it's
ideas? Funny. Yeah, I hate you.
What right here, you know, they were talking about, he's like, I can't believe, you know, they picked you to be in the Fantastic Four. He's like, it was your recommendation. No, it wasn't. Yeah, it was. It's my ringtone.
he's like, that was a joke.
It's so fun. Awesome. It's just so fun. You know, and of course, all their jokes, you don't have to be in on it. So
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's just fun. I might have to pick this up. It's a bi-weekly, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. It's bi-weekly. So it's been bi-weekly for a while. It's good stuff. You should be reading it. We've tried to tell you this.
I know. But so. I don't need another comic book on my list.
Well, maybe cut some other stuff, you know.
I like everything I'm reading now.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I'm becoming a Spider-Man.
Get a third girl. Job. I don't know.
A third job.
Sell your
Please,
old
people,
comers.
Hire me.
Yeah. I have 10 hours in my day. I don't do anything.
I need to sell my kidney for Spider-Man.
There you go. Sell. There you go. Right there. Sell your kidney for Spider-Man. He'll appreciate it.
Would that
it.
Make me like the ultimate fan, even though I don't read it a whole lot?
That's sort of terrifying, really. I think maybe you should just sell advertising space. You should get a tattoo of something and sell Amazing that Spider-Man. As like, yeah, and just sell that to Marvel's advertising space. Maybe not Amazing Spider-Man. They may not buy space. You need something, you know, some company that really needs advertising space. Like, I don't know. What's the new thing that that guy, Shticky, the, I don't know. There's some, like, any of that, like, now on, you know, TV only stuff. You know, there you go. Those coins. Those people are always trying to hawk those coins. Maybe you can get a tattoo for them. Oh, yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That'll be great. It's got to be on your face, though. That's what.
I'd rather sell my kidney, to tell you the truth.
Okay, kidney would be. that's awesome. Kidney is more. Yeah, less invasive. all right, cool. Well, I guess I'll review some things then. Let's stay on Spider-Man for a minute.
All right.
If we could. And I'm going to talk about Ultimate Spider-Man. excuse me. Sorry. So Miles is really trying to come into his own in a way. I mean, he's trying to learn how to be Spider-Man. And I think, you know, when we last left him, he had figured out he had YouTube videos of Peter as Spider-Man. And we see here a whole sequence where he's, you know, sort of using those videos to try to learn some of Spider-Man's moves. And there's an interesting little bit here where we spend a lot of time with him talking with his family, and we see this, you know, what I like is that there's a difference even between his parents in terms of, like, their opinion of, you know, Spider-Man. We see his mother is very, you know, sort of, you know, very open to the idea of superheroes and people that are sort of protectors, whereas the father is a little bit apprehensive about it. And I think that that's actually, you know, and that makes sense too, considering that he comes from a background where his brother is the Prowler and, you know,
that's
true. Yeah. So I think he has a little bit of a different perspective on it than maybe Miles's mother does, but it does leave Miles in this odd position where he feels like his father doesn't appreciate something that he's doing. So we're seeing a different angle on it, at least, you know, for Spider-Man, where, you know, Miles is trying to be Spider-Man, and he's actually having to deal with those issues of parents and things. So I think that's kind of an interesting angle, hiding it from his family. You know, Peter had to hide it from Aunt May, of course, but a little bit different. You know, it's a little bit different scenario, as it has been with Miles. One of the things that got pointed out here, and I hadn't really thought about it yet, Miles doesn't have any web shooters yet.
Oh, still?
Yeah, Miles doesn't.
I haven't read this issue yet.
Yeah, Miles doesn't have any webbing. He's literally leaping from building to building without any kind of webbing. So there's a whole sequence here where he's trying to transverse parts of the city, and he realizes he doesn't have webs, but he has different powers, you know, of course, than Peter did. He has his camouflage, but he doesn't have any control over it. He still really hasn't quite figured out his spider sense. I mean, he has it, but he hasn't quite figured out how it works.
Yeah, I think that's why I like Miles a lot, too, because he's so different from Peter. Mm-hmm. To me, Peter seemed like he picked this up so quick. And Miles, he's in a whole different situation where he's having to really struggle to learn these special abilities. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and you see that happening. You know, I always like that discovery bit. It's one of the things, of course, I liked about, like, the Iron Man movie where, you know, he's spending time working on the technology and developing it. You know, I like that period of transition where you see, you know, a hero do something just like a normal person would, where they would struggle, you know, to sort of mm-hmm. get a sense of their powers. And, you know, you have a spider sense, but what does that mean? You know, do you, you know, how does it work? Do you know what it is initially? It's probably going to take you a few times to figure out that it's, you know, sort of a danger sense. But most of the rest of this issue is him fighting Omega Red. Although there is a side part of this that deals, and most of the, really, actually, I guess most of the rest of the issue deals with the Prowler, where the Prowler shows up to the Tinkerer who makes all of his gadgets and such. And they have a bit of a discussion. And basically, through the course of the conversation, sort of to abbreviate the conversation, the Prowler very quickly figures out that the spiders that he saw at Osborn's lab were the same spiders that you know, could give Spider powers. And he realizes that he had brought one of those home, and that's what had bit Miles, so that the new Spider-Man has to be Miles. So he basically puts the pieces together. But in the process, he ends up killing the Tinkerer. Because he doesn't, he sort of figures it out with the Tinkerer, and even though the Tinkerer doesn't really know what the hell he's talking about, he kills him anyway. So, so that's really interesting. But there's a lot of this issue where he's fighting Omega Red, and of course, Miles has never heard of Omega Red, has no idea who the guy is.
That's kind of a big opponent to come up against.
I don't know that
you have no idea what your powers are.
Yeah, and it is kind of interesting to see what he does. Of course, he does have sort of that Vulcan neck pinch thing, too. And he does use that on Omega Red as well. I don't know how powerful Omega Red is in the Ultimate Universe. I don't know a lot about this iteration of Omega Red. Not that Omega Red is that scary in the regular Marvel Universe either. But
if you don't know anything about him, be yeah. intimidating.
yeah, exactly. Just going in kind of blind. But he does. He takes him down. He uses his shock pinch and knocks him out. So he ends up beating Omega Red. But you do see him start to take that next step as a superhero. You know, you see that progression where, you know, you get your powers and you realize you can do all this stuff. And then you start helping people like purse snatchers and things like that. But then when you start to get into bigger, you know, villains like Omega Red, then he's starting to take that next step where he's starting to say, well, okay, I just beat Omega Red, but why was he there? What was he doing? And, you know, what's the situation? Mm-hmm. So you see him starting to take those next logical steps, you know, that you see superheroes taking. And of course that gets interrupted when he's met on his walk to school by his uncle, the Prowler.
So, now at this point, does he know that his uncle's the Prowler?
No, he doesn't really know his uncle's the Prowler. He knows his uncle has a criminal history and does steal things.
Yeah, I knew that. Like I said, I'm an issue or two behind. Yeah, so.
But no, he does not know that his uncle is the Prowler, per se. And
that's why, you know, his dad was like, no, you're not going to go see your uncle.
Exactly. So this is going to be interesting because now, you know, he knows who Miles is. It's going to put Miles, I think, in a really tough position, you know?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't
need any more, but you know what? It's going to make for a good story.
It is going to make for, I think it's going to make for a really interesting story because surely the Prowler is going to try to blackmail him. You know, I think he's going to try to blackmail Miles into helping him, you know, do something or else he'll reveal his identity or whatever. So it is going to be interesting to see how that plays out. What choices sure. Miles makes, you know, because again, Miles is very early in his career, you know, and so.
And still very young.
He is still very young. So, yep. So anyway, good stuff. Of course, I always recommend reading it. It's not Sarah Morales. It's still Sanley on the art, and I'm not 100% sold on the art, but it's okay. It's different. It's not bad.
Now the paperback, or is it the paperback or the hardback that comes out this month?
Surely it's the hardback.
For the first like 6 issues or something like that.
Yeah, probably should be because this is issue 7. So.
And so I tell people, if you haven't read the single trades, go pick that up because it's a really good story. You know, I mean, there was a hype behind, you know, Miles, you know, his ethnicity and his background, and it's making for a really good story. So.
Yeah, it's actually turned out to be really interesting. They're doing some really, you know, different stuff with it. Yeah, so it's good stuff. I definitely recommend it. So, as apparently I'm losing my voice as the show goes on. This is very exciting. I'm getting a sort of gruffly, rough sound in my voice. But anyway, it's not as sexy when guys...
Mike Wolf and Jack.
I know. It's not as sexy for guys, though, is it? I don't think when we start to get like that, you know. Women get that like deep voice, you know.
See, I already have a deep voice. Well, in my head it does.
Are you saying you already have a sexy voice? You're already...
Oh, I don't have a sexy voice, but I have a deep Valley Girl voice.
Oh, okay. I just want to clarify, you know.
I'm not high pitch, but, you know...
Right. Yeah, I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just saying, I just didn't know. You know, this is a very special episode of Fanboy Versus. Anyway, so let's talk about Robots in Disguise. Okay. Not just Transformers, but Transformers, Robots in Disguise, the comic. I read the first issue of this. I don't think we talked about it very much on the show. It's very good. I think I still like More Than Meets the Eye better, but this issue has gone a long way to endearing me to this series. Politically, this is the story that basically is staying on Cybertron. You know, the other story is off-world and, you know, a group of Autobots and Decepticons and Cybertronians doing something there. This is still Autobots and Decepticons and Cybertronians, but, this is very much about the power struggle. It's a more political story that's going on Cybertron. And I think there's some interesting things just from a comic sort of standpoint that's going on in this issue. And I don't want to go too in-depth with it because there is a lot of backstory with it. You do see sort of Starscream, not reintroduced, but, you know, it makes a much more prominent appearance. There's some great things with Starscream in this issue in which he continually mentions that he keeps telling the truth. Which is
he's weirded out by it. He's like, this is weird for me to tell the truth. He's like, he's freaking out because he's being honest for once.
I
love it.
You know, a lot of these characters are very, you know, very different. It's not what you expect. You know, Starscream goes up and wants to talk to Bumblebee, and Bumblebee takes out his cane, which apparently has a shock stick.
This is not your friendly G1 Bumblebee.
No. It has like a shock version to it, and he totally tases Starscream and knocks him out.
She's like, you could thank Will Jack for that.
Yeah. Holy crap. But, but Prowl has a whole conversation with Starscream. Starscream tells him that, you know, Rat Bat, of course, is planning to assassinate Bumblebee at the ceremony. They're doing a memorial because they think that Rodimus and his crew are dead, and so they're doing a memorial for them, and their plan is to assassinate Bumblebee. It will cause an immediate power vacuum. The Decepticons, they were supposed to have these control chips that the Autobots could control them with, and they've turned them off, and they just haven't really let the Autobots know that. But Prowl like shows up, thwarts Skywarp's plan, you know, beats him up with these awesome like nightstick things. It's just like, it's a perfect weapon for Prowl to use because they're just like nightsticks, you know, which is, you know, he's a police car. It's perfect. But it's something I don't think I'd ever seen before.
Yeah.
So it's just,
I like it though.
Oh yeah, I love it. It's brilliant. Like I said, it's totally brilliant. So, you know, Prowl thwarts the assassination, and Starscream is actually watching all this go down with Longhaul, who Longhaul is supposed to be working with Ratbat, but he's not sure if he really wants to go that way. So, they tell Ratbat, Longhaul ends up telling Ratbat that Bumblebee is assassinated, so they start to, he's going to mobilize his Decepticons to step in. Ratbat goes up to go do something else, and like, RC comes out of freaking nowhere.
It's the good old IDW RC.
This is crazy.
Actually, batshit crazy. I did that. Rat Bat. You did good.
Yeah. Rat Bat shit crazy. if you're thinking G1 cartoon RC, happy go lucky girl, you're in the wrong fucking world. If you're thinking Prime RC, where she's kind of a hard ass, you're in the wrong fucking world, okay? Like, this is like kill you dead, crazy, on a bitch rampage.
Mentally broke down RC. Like, I am raging on PMS, and you just stepped over the line.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to pay for it. I was telling JD before the show, RC's more of a Decepticon than anyone else in this comic book because, holy hell.
She's got like a borderline whirl thing going on, you know, where she's just like very, you know, sadistic in that way.
Can you imagine her and whirl in a scene together?
I'm not sure. That's like, never mind. I'm just, sorry. My brain went to a very particular place.
This is the time you hold back? Oh, come on.
I'm just thinking rough sex is all I'm thinking, really. Oh, man.
I love IDWRC.
I mean, thinking punches to the face, sort of, you know, sexual encounter. But anyway, learned a little bit about JD today. She cuts off, she has a flaming sword, cuts off Rat Bat's wing, pulls around, tells him she's not going to kill him, and then it's like, nah, I'm kidding, and then kills him anyway.
I'm kidding. You know, like a kind of a sweet voice, but sinister at the same time. That's just,
it's kinda scary.
I'm kidding.
Oh, man. So
I love this RC.
Yeah. And you know, it's brilliant. Anyway, it's good stuff. There's more stuff that happens in this issue. I don't want to go into detail. I'll leave the ending because I think you should read it. We'll mention it again. You know, we've been bitching for the last couple of years because Transformers comics have sucked. These are good shit. You should be reading them. If you're not picking it up, what the fuck is wrong with you? These are what we wanted.
It's not too late. Up right now. Robots in Disguise and More Than Meets the Eye are both just on their second issue. You could easily catch up and enjoy it along with the rest of us.
So, yeah. And if nothing else, then you get to see RC. Crazy RC. But,
nuts.
Yeah.
Love her. No, so. I'm really liking it. Like I was telling JD, now is a good time to be a Transformers fan. You know, we've got some good stories going on right now, you know. Along with some good toys.
Yeah. I actually picked up, the Wheeljack. The Transformers Prime Wheeljack is...
I got it too. Well, I haven't played with him, but I picked him up.
Amazing figure. It's one of the best deluxes I think I've picked up in a long time. I mean, just the design on that is brilliant. Just brilliant. It's got some cool stuff. So anyway.
I can't wait to play with him tonight.
Yes.
I picked him up along with a couple bot shots because I don't have bot shots, so I found
We're talking about rough sex and playing with toys in this podcast. Although those two things are not related.
See, or they could be.
Well, they could be.
How do you play with your bot shots?
Funny you should ask. Anyway, so this is a very special episode of Fanboy Versus Nicole and I see which one can embarrass the other more. We need to do shows just you and I more often. This is kind of fun.
There you go. Who needs those other guys?
I'm never letting my wife listen to this. So, about Justice League.
I didn't hear a transition there.
Fine, you did.
Where's the segue?
You need a cold shower after this.
Talking about bot shots.
Talking about bot shots.
There's this guy called Cyborg in Justice League.
Right. Yeah, robots are in there. So.
JD.
I'm okay. It's good. It's good stuff. So, Justice League. This is the conclusion, I think, of the main story arc. The one that's taking place 5 years in the past as we see our team coming together for the first time. I was a bit left off, really. I mean, as far as the beginning of this issue.
I was like, okay, what was going on? I forgot.
Sorry, I just read bot shots work good on the sphincter in the chat from Logan Blaze. And I just... Anyway. This is a very special episode of Fanboy Versus.
Is that the title of it? A very special?
Maybe we shouldn't do a show together again, Nicole. I don't know.
Paul, my doctor used a bot shot this week to test my prostate.
Your doctor? Or were you playing doctor? Because it's a different thing.
Yeah, Paul, I think you were playing doctor.
This comic, as I make,
oh, that's what you're for.
As I make Nicole spit water. I gotta move on. Okay.
This story is actually the last to introduce the whole new 52 Justice League.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and put together this and... has sort of like a side ground.
Again, like you, I forgot where. It...
Yeah, I mean, when we left off, you know, Batman was heading into Apocalypse to find Superman, and it left the team fighting Darkseid. But it took me a minute to remember that that's what Batman was doing. We don't really get to that until later in this issue. And really, most of this issue is just a lot of fighting.
Yeah, basically.
Sorry, a lot of fighting Darkseid at that.
Darkseid?
Oh, man. So, although we do see some interesting stuff. Like I said, it's really changed... Cyborg, with a lot of his tech coming from, you know, Darkseid and being connected to the boom tube and stuff. We see him later in this issue being able to actually open boom tubes and stuff. Back on Darkseid, we do see that Superman is being sort of experimented on by Desaad and I can't remember the other guy's name. So some more classic... Darkseid villains that we get to see in this, but it's what we've kind of expected out of it. I mean, there's some good stuff, you know, as far as the storyline goes with Geoff Johns, but there is a lot of just Jim Lee art in this as far as the first part of the story goes. Most of it again is just a lot.
Let me tell you, Wonder Woman has some really crazy fingernails. Wow,
yeah,
those
look
vicious.
I'll take a little bit of issue with that. I mean, I don't see a warrior princess having not only long nails, but long painted nails.
Because I've never seen her with her nails done before, so I was like, oh, okay.
Doesn't...
Well, at least it matched her outfit. She knows how to coordinate.
Yeah, it doesn't really fit. I don't see Wonder Woman as the kind of girl that's going to sit around and,
paint her nails
and grow them out, you know. It's not really a warrior way, but...
Maybe she uses them like, you know, Prime, ITF Prime Starscream. And she...
Yeah, like they're, you know, God. But Batman pretty, you know, does he save Superman? I don't even know. He basically watches until a boom tube gets opened.
Yeah.
And then, you know, saves Superman, as it were. And it's definitely not what I was expecting.
Yeah, and apparently Cyborg knows what these boom tubes are saying.
Yeah, he can talk to the computer and stuff, or the systems on, you know, on Apocalypse. But yeah, that's basically how they beat Darkseid, is they just send him back. And then fry the computers so that the systems don't work, so that he can't come back. So it's not, I wouldn't really call that a defeat as much as I would call that a postponement. But there it is nonetheless. The art is really spectacular. I mean, I can't.
Yeah,
you know.
It's actually just one long big fight through the whole scene, or pretty much the whole comic.
Yeah, except for the right end, you know, very end. And like I said, there is a lot of stuff where it's like, okay, it's Jim Lee's like basically last issue, so have him draw some cool stuff, you know, like stuff exploding behind Cyborg and, you know, Darkseid and things. But the end of this issue is actually more of what I would consider to be the sort of Geoff Johns stuff, where you know, we see the heroes, you know, before the president, I guess, or the country, you know, receiving a commendation, and you know, they're being called a team and friends, and there's even a kid that calls them the Super Friends, which I thought was a great touch at the end of this. But you know, they're all, you know, in particular Green Lantern's like, you know, he's like, I've got a whole, you know, universe to protect. I can't be tied down to a
team.
They
don't like being called a team.
You know, and Batman sort of sees the opportunity in the sense that it does kind of make them legitimate. And in particular for him, it's going to make it easier for him to work in Gotham if he's got this Justice League thing, and it, you know, takes some of the pressure off of him.
And I think the same is going to be for the heroes in other places. There's a great moment between Green Lantern and Aquaman where someone's talking about their costumes, and Green Lantern's like, this is my uniform. And Aquaman's like, yeah, this is like Atlantean scale armor. It's, you know, I wouldn't pick orange.
Let me tell you, Aquaman, he's done a complete 160 with this reboot. If there is a character that has gone through the biggest change, it is him through this reboot. Let me tell you, he's interesting for once.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, and that's what Johns does. He tends to take characters and make them better, make them more interesting, make them more relevant. So, but we see at the end of this, of course, throughout the story, we've seen what looks like book dialogue. And we see that basically this person, at the end of it, Flash tries to say they've come up with a name, and he calls them the Super Seven, and nobody...
And I was like, Secret Seven? That would have been awesome.
Secret Seven? Nobody really likes that, but the book that comes out that this person throughout the story has been writing, it's titled The Justice League. You know, Gods Among Men, I think, is what the title of it's supposed to be. You know, the world's greatest superheroes. So we do see where that Justice League, where they, you know, of course, it's the best names are given by other people, I think, to teams. So
now, did you read the beginning of Pandora?
Yes, and that's, I think, is the more interesting thing out of this whole deal.
Exactly.
Well, and Darkseid even makes reference for the whole reason he's on Earth is he's looking for his daughter. And I'm wondering if this Pandora is going to reference back, if that's the whole deal, like this is Darkseid's daughter. And that's where this is going to reference back to. But yeah, the end of this is an entire conversation between Pandora, who, you know, we now know is this woman in red, who basically, you know, created, you know, or helped sort of pushed the creation of this new world. And she spends this whole time talking to the Phantom Stranger, and they have this conversation about, you know, gods and the way of the world and what can and can't be done and what lines are crossed. And, you know, she even shoots Phantom Stranger in the head, which of course does nothing. But,
it causes him pain. It does cause him pain, but it does not kill him.
Yeah, exactly.
And she says she'll be more than happy to do that.
Yeah, so. She does not mind that. But basically we do see that she has some sort of plan and thing that she's not supposed to be doing, but she's doing it anyway, and she's going to use the Justice League to do it, whether they like it or not. So she's definitely pulling strings and pushing in the direction. It's made this character a lot more ambiguous.
Yes, I cannot wait to read her more of her story. So,
I'm kind of... I'm interested. I mean, she's, you know, we kind of get this idea that something that she was trying to push the world towards something better in the last issue, you know, something about fighting what's coming. And yet in this, we see maybe she's doesn't have the best of intentions. So I don't know. I'm interested.
Of course, her name's Pandora, and they're talking about a box. You know,
well, yeah. Box. Yeah, and they did make reference that she did make the world a worse place in a way. So they are definitely tying it to the sort of classic Pandora that we know of with the, you know, unleashing.
I like that. I like that tie-in myself. So. Mm-hmm.
It's good. So,
but I think since that's more mythology, she's probably going to have more interaction maybe with Wonder Woman. I don't know.
Possibly, but again, if we're talking Darkseid, then we're talking new gods and stuff. So, you know, that has a whole... thing in and of itself that I'm honestly not very aware of. This would be the great time to have Chris McFeely here and fill in some blanks for us, but he's not, so I'll just fake it.
Yeah, McFeely, you failed.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Can't make it without him. But there you go. So Justice League, good stuff. Pick it up. I can't remember who the new artist is, but I know John's is staying on. So yeah. Maybe Jim Lee has one more book. I can't remember. But anyway, so. Yeah. Hey!
Hey, we did the show all by ourselves.
We did. Yay.
Did a couple people into the chat.
Yay. I know. Headmaster Don's here. Thank you. And Paul. Yeah. And so, yeah. So we only went inappropriate a few times. So
that's good.
yeah. never letting my wife listen to this episode. Why are you talking about dirty things with that girl? She's cool. Anyway.
I'm cool. You don't have to worry about me. Trust me.
That's right. Plus, it's okay. She, like, you know, lives in Utah and, you know.
I live thousands of miles away.
Right. So, it's perfectly safe. We have a perfectly safe online relationship that's mostly professional.
Yeah. We have an audience.
Right. Because there's an audience watching us. So, yes. You know, it can't be too bad. So very cool. I don't even know what's coming out next week. I thought I might check. Because usually, again, this would be the thing that Chris McFeely would know. Yeah. And I don't.
Well, Tiny Titans came out this week. So just to let you guys know, the end of March is the very final issue of Tiny Titans. So you want to pick that
Ooh,
up.
Ooh, yes.
We will be reviewing that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It's because of the show, I started reading it. And it is, like my comic book shops guy says, it's the best thing that DC's putting out. And they got rid of it. And I'm like, oh, no.
No, it is transitioning into something else. I mean, they are doing something else.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
It's, of course, it's not the same. But mm-hmm. Let's see. We want the 10th.
More Than Meets the Eye comes out.
New releases. More Than Meets the Eye, perfect.
Yep.
Let's see.
And I'm trying to
think
what else.
Down the list here. Dark Horse, don't care about them. Star Wars, whatever. Oh, we'll get Action Comics 7, so that's good. Animal Man, you read that. Let's see. Batwing, nobody reads that.
One says the last issue of Children Crusade should be out next week.
Ooh, so that should be interesting, because again, we're getting closer and closer to Avengers versus X-Men. So, Hawk and Dove, nobody reads that.
Why is that still going on?
It's canceled.
I read that first issue and I was bored out of my skull.
It's canceled, so that's okay. Justice League International, though. Hooray for that, because I love that. It's my booster stuff. Swamp Thing, there's another thing. Let's see. I don't see More Than Meets the Eye on the list.
Isn't it next week? Because Robots in Disguise came out last week.
Yeah, but we're into a new month, and that was the last week of the month. So I think it's going to be next week for More Than Meets the Eye. But there is some G.I. Joe stuff.
Oh, I've been picking up the G.I. Joe movie prequels. I should review that one of these weeks.
Yeah, that would be good, especially with the movie coming up. So Spawn, that's still a thing that happens? apparently. So, and let's see, we'll get into Marvel here. Amazing 681 will be out, so we'll of course talk about that. New Avengers Academy will be out. Yes, Children's Crusade, End of Children's Crusade will be out. Defenders 4, which we're loving, so you should pick that up.
Need to pick that one up again.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Let's see. That says Ultimate 8 will be out as well. Am I looking at the right week? Surely. Yeah, that's the coming week. Okie dokie. I mean, I did miss a week, but seriously. It seems like some more stuff. So we'll get another Ultimate. Venom 14, which is that? No, I guess that the end of Circle of Four. I haven't read all of it yet, but I do have it. And then X-Men 26. And, yeah, so there you go.
I got some big names coming out.
Good stuff. It's going to be a big week next week. Good Lord.
So. And hopefully I could read one of my comics I wanted to try to review this week, but I didn't finish it. I was just a few pages off. So.
Oh, my God. There is a comic coming out called Honey Badger.
Are you kidding me?
No, and they're spoofing the Superman Action Comics 1 cover. Wow.
Oh, I might have to pick that up. If my comic book shop guy has it, I'm picking it up.
Honey Badger don't give a shit. He does what he wants. Wow. Oh, and the trade for Flashpoint. So,
I wasn't a big Flashpoint fan, so.
I want, the one thing I want is the Batman stuff. I want the Batman I can't remember.
Thomas Wayne.
Yes,
that was good. Okay,
yeah,
I take that.
That's really the only thing I want out of that.
I want Thomas Wayne back.
Yes,
he was awesome. He made such a great Batman.
He was, is like goddamn Batman level.
Oh my gosh.
So
they need to somehow get a universe where it crosses over with him and Bruce.
That would be so fucking cool. Can you imagine what that would be like? Ugh.
Batman Overload, not a problem. Be
great. Just be great. So we have almost taken up the appropriate amount of time for this episode.
Yep. We padded well.
That's see, I'm totally on a wrong track. I'm just going to...
You were thinking maxi pads, weren't you?
Yes, I was. No, I was not. I think like padded bra or something. Anyway. That's a different thing as well. So, I'm on a roll here. Nicole, you're a bad influence. I'm just going to tell you that. I blame you.
I'm here almost every week.
I know, but when it's just you and me.
Just me.
When I don't have like Triplett and McFeely to control me, my brain, it just doesn't, you know.
Yeah, it's all my fault.
Yeah. I blame you. That way, plausible deniability. My wife is like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's all Nicole. She's just...
It's all my fault.
She's just got this aura. It's just...
I bring out the worst in people.
That's it. Of course, you did mention that you were like an STD when your first appearance on RFC.
Because I get around.
You get around. So
I get around on the podcast. So.
I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know what that means. I'm just saying it. So all right. Cool. Well.
All right.
We're going to get out of here then. So I want to thank, of course, Dawn and Logan Blaze for joining Paul. Thank you, Paul, for joining us in our live chat, because it would have been dull without them, really. But we do thank you for listening as well. Of course, we do recommend that you do listen to both of us, Radio Free Cybertron Live on Wednesdays. At whatever time that actually records. I think it's 8:30 Eastern, and that's going to be really late in the morning, night time for you Brits.
It's only 6:30 my time.
So it's only 6:30 your time, so it's pretty early. For those of you that live...
still get to go to the dollar show afterwards.
we can't... You know, for us, it's like bedtime. But... But for you West Coast people, it's nice. So, and check that out as well. So, of course, go to the website, tfradio.net. For us, you can go to fanboyversus.com for that. So, if you want to tell your friends about the show, just tell them to go to...
And you should.
Go to fanboyversus.com. Follow us on Twitter, at fanboyvs. We do occasionally tweet out of that. I'm going to try to tweet out of that more often during the week as we see news items and things that we may talk about.
Yeah.
So in particular, it may just be retweeting things from other news outlets, but that way you don't have to follow all of them. You just follow us, and then we'll feed you the important information that you need to know. So apparently I am rapidly losing my voice, so I'm going to get out of here.
I can hear it.
I know. It's like...
Going down.
It is rapidly...
See, you can't handle me. I break you. I'm like the Wolf Bane. I break you.
I know. Okay, I'm going to that S&M thing again. Anyway, so I'm just thinking, dominant. Anyway, learned so much about JD this week. Not so much about Nicole, but really more about me. So anyway, again, thanks so much for tuning in. And please tune in next time when it'll be Fanboy versus...
This has been Fanboy versus... Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.